Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Joe Cipriano, Program Executive Officer for Information Technology at the U.S. Department of Navy. And joining us in our conversation is Bill Phillips, another PwC partner.
Joe, in our first segment, you described your responsibility to head this thing called the Navy Marine Corps Internet, NMCI project. Tell us, if you would, tell our listeners what exactly is NMCI, and what do you hope to accomplish through it?
NMCI is a service, a voice, video, and data service that we provide to everyone in the enterprise, military and civilian. And that service is provided to a guaranteed service level. So they can count on it being available a certain percentage of the time. They can count on message traffic moving across it with packet losses less than some number and with cross-country transit times less than some number. They can count on it being refreshed. And essentially what we've done is we've said we're going to treat IT as a service rather than a commodity. Prior to NMCI, we bought stuff. We bought software. We bought hardware. We bought networks. We refreshed them as we could afford to. Hard to synchronize those refreshments, and so we could continue to talk to each other when one guy got a bunch of money and could buy the next upgrade and the other guy couldn't. And it was very hard to synchronize that across our very large and diverse organization where individual commanders are making decisions on the priority of these investments versus other priorities that they had. And so we looked at this and we said, you know, this is what we want to do in order to be able to share this information to improve our decision time as we desired, and also address security issues across the board and interoperability issues. We really need to think about this differently. And we decided that that operating and maintaining networks wasn't a core competency of the Department of the Navy, that there were people in industry that did this better than us, did it less expensively than us. And we imagined that if without spending any more money than we were spending today, by just letting somebody do this for us, that where it was in their core competency, we could get all of these improvements we were seeking without spending more money. And so the objective that I was given was, don't spend any more money we're spending now. I want service for all these people, including an extra 55,000 that don't have service today that need it. I want this improved security. I want this improved availability. I want this. I want built-in tech refresh. I want help desk services. I want standard software packages that everybody has and are automatically upgraded. And I want it all without spending more money than I'm spending today. And the first step was to agree on what the service, what these service levels had to be, because they had to support, you know, 400,000 people that are in active duty and civilians and military that are ashore at any one time. So agreeing on what those were took some doing, and everybody insisted that it couldn't, that their requirements were unique. Nobody else, I have special requirements that nobody else has. But we found that in fact there is a core set of requirements that everybody shared, and we were able to agree on a service level that if this service level were met by the network, it would support everybody's requirements for information. And so this became the basis of the contract. And we went out to industry and we said, here is a statement of objectives. This is what I want to do. Here is a design reference mission. Here is the environment it has to work in, because our environment is different than maybe what some of the commercial IT industry was used to working in. But this is what we do. This is how our surge requirements impact information technology requirements. We may have 4 or 5 time increases in traffic during certain times. This is where our people are. And here are the service levels that we want you to meet. And we gave them no other direction than that. We did not specify any hardware, and we did not specify any software. And we said, you go figure it out. I just want to buy this from you as a service. We had a lot of discussions with industry so they could ask a lot of questions. And then we went put this RFP out. The second thing we did is said, we want to get out of this business. And so we turned over to industry our existing infrastructure. We said, you can have it, and you can use it if you can, and if you can't, fine, just make it go away, because we don't want to be out of that business. We just want a service like a telephone service or electricity, where it's just there, and I don't have to worry about however it is it gets there. It's just there every day, and I can count on it, and I want to be able to count on IT that same way. So industry responded to this challenge. We asked them to bid against this service level agreement, and also to give us a best value proposal. because we quite frankly didn't know where the knee in the curve was between costs and performance for the elements in the service level. We didn't know if getting 4 nines availability versus 5 nines availability was a lot cheaper or just a little bit cheaper. And we didn't know, you know, if specifying certain packet losses, for instance, cross country, cost a lot of money, or I could get better than that for very little more investment, or I could get a little bit less and save a whole bunch of money. So we let industry tell us where the knee in the curve was for their particular technical solution, and we competed best value. And we allowed innovation that was out there to be a big part of this effort.
It seems very logical to spend no more money and get a consistent level of service, yet I can't help but think that the people who had the different systems at various levels all believed what they were doing made some sense and therefore were comfortable where they were. How did you get them to understand sort of global optimization?
Right, and that's a very good word, is optimization, because everybody had optimized their network for their situation, and that may not be optimized for the next echelon or the echelon, several echelons up. So the trick is always to, how do you optimize requirements for everyone without decreasing anybody's requirements? And it was difficult. The other thing is that anything that's managed out of Washington couldn't possibly be as good as something I'm managing myself. Just previous experience would lead one to conclude that. So we had to work on that. We did some things. First of all, we met with all of these people every month, and we facilitated these meetings with very senior Navy leadership, 4-star level participation. The SINCs, the commanders-in-chief from Land Fleet and PAC Fleet, from the CNO's office and so forth. So we had very senior Navy leadership saying, this is important to us, and reinforcing that idea. And then we listened to people's concerns about it. And then we put provisions in the contract and in our governance structure to accommodate those concerns to the extent we could. For instance, there was a concern that since the contract was held centrally instead of locally, that the contractor would try to please the central holder of the contract instead of pleasing the end user. And so in NMCI, we dealt with that by having a customer satisfaction incentive that's built into the contract that is up to $200 a seat per person incentive, which adds up, which can come to $150 million a year. It's a lot of money. That is controlled based on surveys of the end users. It isn't based on whether I'm happy or not with the service, but is the end user happy with the service? And so every quarter, they're given an opportunity to fill out an online survey. And based on that survey, the contractor can earn $25, $50, or $100 a person more if he delights those people with the service. And that was intended to focus the service provider on making the customer happy, and take some of the focus away from worrying about every little contract nuance. We're more concerned about customer satisfaction than we were on meeting all these very specific metrics that had been specified in the contract, because who knows if they're right or not. Anyway, so customer satisfaction was given a lot of attention as a way to help settle that. But change management is always hard, and the hardest part of this as we transition through this is that. Another factor that was identified, another concern, was there were a lot of people's jobs that were affected by NMCI. Since we had about 2,000 civilians and military that were operating and maintaining networks that would no longer have that responsibility once NMCI came to their sites. And, of course, these people were very concerned about what would happen to them as a result. And we asked industry to help us with that, too. And so each of the industry proposals contained a how we think you should deal with this problem. The proposal that we selected has a very nice program for dealing with this. For anyone that we identify as being impacted by NMCI to the contractor, the contractor promises to hire them. They get a 15% raise. They get a hiring bonus. They get guaranteed employment for 3 years. And so they have a pretty nice package to transition to industry if they want to continue doing the kind of work they were doing before. If they want to move into knowledge management, or they want to move into some of the other areas in IT where we are growing people and moving, then we were offering training opportunities for those people and said, you know, if you decide you want to take this industry offer, great. If not, we will try to place you in the Navy and other locations to help with some of the remaining responsibilities we have. Because these are very, very talented, very high-valued people, IT people, as you know, are in short supply. So it's not like we wanted to get rid of them or that it's hard for them to find jobs.
How long did all of this take? describing the vision, selling the vision, and executing such a big contract?
We started in May of 1999 with an offsite with all of our Echelon 2 commands, facilitated by one of our four stars, where we came up with a vision for NMCI. This is what we want to do. Here's the scope of it, and began an acquisition strategy. December, we issued an RFP, which had all, so between then and December, we got all the requirements together, got agreement on the service level agreements, did industry visits of everybody who had provided this kind of service to over 100,000 people, and learned, therefore, you know, how they had done that and tried to incorporate that in our process. And so it took less than a year to go through the whole acquisition process.
And speaking of time, it's a good point for us to stop. We're talking with Joe Cipriano about the NMCI project. Stick with us through the break. When we come back, we'll ask him more about this large and fascinating project. This is the Business of Government Hour.